morning, everyone. All right, I've only got 10 minutes, so I better rip into it. I've just titled this talk House of Cards, and I don't know if you've ever put together a house of cards, just how precarious that is, trying to get the house to stand, and, you know, you wobble the table and the house of cards just fall, or you sort of over commit to one card, or you extend your fingers a bit too much, and then the whole lot just comes collapsing down. And I just thought that was a really good depiction of the world today. The world today is literally a house of cards, and it's collapsing right in front of us. And we've seen progressively over the years, things have become worse and worse. And we know that because we're embroiled in it. It's all around us. Not that we're involved in it, but we can see it in our workplaces and in our schools, in our universities. It's on the television, it's on our phones. It's just in our face. You can't miss it. We live in a woke, me too, narcissistic culture. Talks about that in Timothy. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Disobedient, unthankful, unholy, ungodly, you name it. And that's the world we live in today. And look at the politicians, what they're doing with our economy and the policies and the wastage of money and just generally running the country. They've got no idea. We've got huge social problems. We've got the family breakdown, social media, housing crisis, inflation. Like, we could just go on and on and on. Let's just turn to Luke chapter 21. So it's a house of cards, and it's all starting to collapse right in front of us. And we read here in Luke 21 and in verse 25, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." And we're seeing this distress of nations. You can definitely see that over in Israel and Gaza, on both sides. Distress. We've got the Russian-Ukraine conflict. You know, there's terrible distress there. You know, we see it in Africa. We see it all over the world, even at home here. There's people are in distress. People are not happy. And this word perplexity here is a great word to describe the world today. This word means to twist, to entangle, to make complicated and difficult to be understood or unraveled, to puzzle, to distract. We can distinguish no general truths. Unable to grasp something clearly or to think logically and decisively about something. Complicated. And the world has absolutely complicated things. And I thought that was a great description there, where it says we can distinguish no general truths. I mean, we can't even work out what a man is or a woman is. It's just, you know, of all the most simplest, basic, fundamental reality, and we just can't even get our wrap our head around it these days. And you know, that's what the world's done. We've made things so complicated. We've twisted things to suit our narrative, and we live in this really complicated world. It's entangled. It's all tangled up. It's a mess. It's really hard now to unravel the damage that's been done by policy and governments and organisations and just the world in general. We were fishing down at Rapid Bay Jetty with the kids at the last camp, and we were catching some squid and some little mullet and that. We're having a great time, but then inevitably you get your fishing line all tangled up. And it was the kids, and it was just like, I can't deal with this. There's no way we can unravel this bird's nest of just fishing line. So what do? You just cut the thing off. You just go, look, just cut it. We'll put a whole new rig on. Maybe we'll save the sinker or whatever. You know, maybe the rig, there might be parts that you can save. And really, it's so complicated now that there's no fix. There's not a simple answer to the world's problems. It needs to be cut and re-rigged, if you like. And we know that Jesus Christ is coming to do exactly that. A new way, a new authority, a new kingdom is coming, and it'll be cut. Everything we see will be changed. You know, we think about that theory of the evolution, which is taught in our schools, and it's a complete removal of God and a creator. And we live in this world of perplexity because of all of these things. Man has totally rejected the Lord. Let's just turn to Matthew chapter 7. We read there, it talks about in the Old Testament, in Judges, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that was right, which was right in his own eyes. So, you know, the truth to one person is not the truth to another. And we live in a really argumentative society. Things that are reality are not to others. And the goalposts are continually changing there. And the last thing we want to do is get caught up in all of this, to be entangled or ensnared in all of this carry-on and distracted. You know, not what we read there, not being able to make a decisive decision. We've got to be decisive about our walk in the Lord. We can't be double-minded, unstable. We can't be in a situation where we're not thinking clearly because of everything else that's going on around us and caught up. Because if we do, and we start getting involved in all of these things, we will be like a house of cards. We will collapse. You know, any little thing that comes along us, will just fall in a heap, like the world does. Let's just read here in Matthew chapter 7, very, very well-known passage here. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be like unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You know, it's very important there when you're building a house, building any structure like this concrete slab here. This had to get done right. It had to go through a process, and there's a lot of time spent on the foundation so this steel structure can go up and stand strong for many, many years. And just to give you a bit of an example, just recently we just decided to do an outdoor entertaining area, and we had to put a concrete slab down. And as we were digging it, we were trying to find natural ground, and we went down a meter. Well, that's not there. Went down 2 meters. Before we knew it, the whole excavator arm was down, you know, and you couldn't even see the arm of the excavator. And we were just pulling up rubble. It was landfill. It was soft. It was something you just couldn't build on. And the guys just said, look, we can't do this slab until we get down to natural ground, until we get down to the rock. Oh, they're going, here we go. What are we going to do here? So I end up getting a core driller in, and he had to drill some holes to find where the natural ground was, the rock. And we found it 6 meters down. I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. I don't know how high this is at the apex, but even if it was probably a bit higher than the air conditioning unit, that sort of gives you a bit of an idea of how far we found it. And we had to do 10 piers down to get to the rock, to get to this natural soil before we could even do the slab. So we did 10 of these holes and filled them with steel and concrete. Then we were back to square one, and then we could do the slab. And, you know, that was just, no one was going to build the steel outdoor entertaining area without that being done right. It would have fallen over. It would have cracked up. It would have been a disaster. And that's just how important it is to get down to the rock. And I thought that's just a wonderful analogy there for our own walk in the Lord there, and our commitment to God is to get down to the rock. The rock is the Word of God. The rock of our life is Jesus Christ. And we need to build our foundation on Him. And if we do that, our structure, our life will be solid. We won't fall down. It's interesting there where it talks about that word house. We're talking about building the house upon the rock. And that house is interpreted as our family. You know, the house of Raimundo, you know, the noble house of Raimundo, or the house of Goodrich, or you know, that represents us, our family, and what we're all about. The other way it can be used is the house can be referred to as the church, not the building. We know that God doesn't dwell in buildings made with men's hands, but it's us. We are the church. We are the house of God. We read there about Cornelius there. He was a devout man and feared God with all his house. The house can be the body, which the soul inhabits, so our earthly house. So when we in this context here, we're just talking about building on the Word of God, us, everything we represent, our family, our kids, how we are known to the world, our reputation, if you like. We read there how it says how he that heareth these things, and that means to attend, to listen and obey. So to hear, you have to attend. Like we're attending today, you've got to get to the meetings, you've got to be there to listen, to hear it, and then you've got to put it into action. And this is building our life on the rock and of Jesus Christ there. You know, the world has built their life on the sand, and we can see the results of that. Just people, I mean, that chap here who gave his testimony said, I was a wreck. I think he used that word. I was just absolute, my life was just in total disrepair. And that's what you look around, you get chatting to people. They've built their lives on the sand of the world, and they're falling like a house of cards. And they've got marriage breakdown, addiction, you know, so many problems going on with their kids, and just the list just goes on and on. And it's all because they've removed this out of their life, and they're doing it the world's way on that sandy soil. And the fruits, the result speaks for itself. And, you know, thank the Lord that we've decided to commit to him, and we're building on the rock of God there, on his word. We need to continue to make a strong, decisive commitment to the Lord. We've got to remain vigilant and honorable. Our house has to be honorable, a good testimony. And when we do that, God provides that strong foundation, that strong structure. And this church is the house of God, but it's also a literal structure where when the world beats against us, we can come into the fellowship and we're protected. Our kids are protected. We hear good things, righteous things, holy things, things that are good for our lives, and because we're in the house of God. So when that's why we spend a lot of time trying to keep the world out, because that's just going to undermine the foundations. And if we keep doing that, this house of God will be a complete protection for all of us. Ultimately, there's going to be a day of reckoning, and Jesus is coming. And we read there, it says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at that right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. You know, people are going to be falling like a house of cards, dropping to our left, dropping to our right. But you know, the only ones going to be left standing, it's going to be us on that great and terrible day. We will continue to stand because we built our life on the rock. You know, we are the last bastion, and something that word bastion means that something that keeps or defends a belief or a way of life that is disappearing. We are the last bastion of true Christianity and how to follow the Lord. So, you know, we read there in Joshua where he says, you know, for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And that's what we've got to make that commitment. For all of us here today and our house, we're going to serve the Lord. All the people said.